Turn with me to Hebrews. Then. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, verse 1, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto maturity, perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and have put him to an open shame. You know, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Anyone who's truly born has tasted the good word of God, has tasted the powers of the world to come. They've tasted the good word of God. They've tasted the powers of the world to come. And they know the reality of what God can do. And it's so important to understand that if you haven't really tasted, when it says it's impossible to renew them to repentance, the thing that you can't do is you can't bring someone back and get them in legalism back into life. There's no method into life. Life is to do with God's sovereign act. And when God does a sovereign act, he just does the act. It's a gift. And so often people forget that this is the basis of it. You can't, if you were once enlightened, tasted of the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Ghost, you can't then come back and re-experience what you already have. You can't have another experience. When you're born, you're born. When you've tasted of the powers of the world to come, when you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, when God has met you and you've tasted of the good word of God, what you can't do is have another experience. Because the trouble is, if you have another experience, you no more live in faith, you live in law. And law is the enemy of faith. And I want to look at it this morning and talk about it, because there's two types of people in the earth. The people who really hate the truth are legalistic people. The people who love God are the people of faith. And if you're a Christian, you're a man of faith, not a man of law. And so often, when people read the scriptures, they confuse it. You see, you can't renew someone to repentance and you can't get them back the same method. Because the just shall live by faith. And righteousness is not of what I do, it's what he did for me. He is my righteousness. And once I start analyzing things and leaving the salvation I have because of condemnation and guilt, I'll tell you what happens. I can't get back but by one simple act. It's called faith. That's why I like the hymn we were singing. Hey, you know, if it starts you thinking about the blood that was shed on the cross, then you're coming back to faith. When you start thinking about yourself and your life, you're coming into unbelief. You can't change yourself, God changes you. You can't deliver yourself, God delivers you. You can't recreate yourself, God recreates you and makes you a new creation in Christ by faith. And it's his work, not yours. And so it's impossible to renew a man by trying to get him to go through a formula. That's why if you keep laying again the foundation, repentance from dead works, faith towards God, if you keep relaying it, when you start getting people all the time repenting, I'll tell you what happens, you repent outside of faith. You're saying you lost the life. You can't lose the life. You've lost the reality. You can't lose it. You're born from above. And the idea, a notion that somehow a formula will bring you back into relationship is totally obnoxious with God. It's by faith. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've tasted the good word of God. You haven't tasted some experience. You've tasted the powers of the world to come. I'll tell you how you've tasted it, by faith. And the only way to live in it is by faith. And the enemy of our soul, the thing he wants to do is get us into unbelief. What he wants to do is challenge our faith all the time. If he can convince me that it's not true, if he can convince me I have to do something for it, then it's no more by grace, it's by law. And if I get under law, I'm in trouble. And that is what 90% of Christians end up in, legalism and condemnation. And then trying to get them into grace is a hard job because all the time they just get angry with you and they want a formula. I love God's grace. I think grace is the most wonderful thing of all. Grace is undeserved favor. God doing something for me I don't deserve. And all the time I live by grace. And thank God it's by grace you're saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a what of God?
Gift.
Now a gift is free. You do nothing for it. That's why you don't want to go to laying the foundation again. If you start laying the foundation again, you're outside of faith and you're just dead. You won't get renewed again to repentance because you can't come back that way. Because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us the same and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can't come back in repentance from dead works because you're not dead, you're living. Christ lives in you. Is that plain? Hello? It's good. Which one was it? You came. One of you came. You were blind in one eye, weren't you? Come up here. You know, it was nice. You came when the Danakarans were here.
Yes.
At the conference, I remember. And you came out and all you could see was light, which I didn't agree with. I remember it. That's right.
That's right.
How long were you blind?
For 3 weeks. And when Bishop was saying by faith, I came here by faith to receive a miracle. That's on July 8th. And I praise Lord, I received my miracle. I got my sight back. And Bishop was asking me, look at me, I'm handsome. I say, you're handsome.
You remember that? I never lie.
On June 21st, I was returning from Scotland. On my way, I realized I suddenly lost my sight. It was blurred. I can't see anything. It was completely dark. I was rushed to the emergencies, and then doctors tested and then said, like, there was a dislocation of my nerve, the optic nerve in my eye. And the junior doctors told me that, sorry, lady, you can't regain your sight. You have to be like this for the rest of your life. And I was like, fine, okay. Then we went to the senior doctor and he looked at me and said, it will take 8 to 12 weeks to regain your sight. And he was not confident in saying that. And he said, it may come like 60%, but it won't be 100% of the sight back. And I said, okay, fine. And he said, you go home, no medicines, nothing, just take rest. And when I came back, I go to a Wednesday fellowship every Wednesdays. Sister Colin and Rachel, I mean, I call up sisters and ask them, and Akka told me to read a word before I go to sleep on that day. And one of my friend, I asked him to read a word from the Bible because I can't see. And he was just going through the Bible, and I just closed my eyes. And God has given me a vision of Isaiah 53. And I tell you the truth. I come from a Hindu background. I don't know what is Isaiah 53 because I have never read the Bible. I'm not a born Christian. And I asked him to read Isaiah 53. And he was reading Isaiah 53, and the verse 5 says, "By his stripes we are healed." And that day God has promised me that he will heal me. And that's the test for my faith to receive the healing. And 3 weeks I suffered without an eyesight. It's difficult. It's difficult because I'm in a profession. I'm a lawyer by profession. I have to read. I have to be on the net every time. And it's worst for 3 weeks. And the sisters, they encouraged me to come here for the conference on July 8th. I came here. It's a blessed place. You receive miracles here. You should have faith. And I came by faith here. And when Brother Dinakaran was praying, I was sitting on the second row there. I remember, that's the seat. And when Brother said, he was praying at the end of the preaching, he said, he was saying, "There's a lady with an eye problem related to your nerve. Receive your healing. Receive your healing." And by faith, I received my healing. And I just rushed to the podium and said, I was healed here. And then Bishop was saying, "Look at me, I'm handsome." I said, "You're handsome." And I praise Lord, I'm back here because I'm flying on 3rd of February to India. Because without my parents' knowledge, I accepted the Lord as my Savior on 19th of September. Now I'm a Christian. I say that proudly because I serve a living God and the only God. Praise Lord. Even today I came here for a miracle because this is the time I have to speak to my parents. So I pray God to give me the strength and energy to represent myself to my parents. They should see the changes in me which Lord has given to me. And I thank you, Bishop, for this wonderful place. It's a blessed place. Thank you so much. Praise Lord.
Bless you. You know, miracle is a gift. It's not something you earn. And when you receive a gift, it's by faith. You've got to believe what God says. And the reason people don't get a miracle is they won't act upon God's word. And there's nothing you can do. I can't make a man or a woman do what they should do. And legalism or living according to your feelings is deadly. And I want to talk about grace. It's something I know a lot about. I also know that there are people who are religious. Now, religious people live by law. Religious people have a legalistic frame of mind, and they have a kind of measurement of what should be and shouldn't be. Well, let me tell you something. God is God. And the only person you can ever sin against is God. You can't sin against your brother or sister. You sin against God. Is that plain? Reconciliation is reconciliation with God. Offense is offending God. Now, in humanistic, legalistic religion, everyone gets very conscious of the fact it's all to do with relationship down here. And legalism becomes a petty thing. And it's kind of, did you do this? Did you do that? Well, look, it doesn't matter a tin whistle what anyone thinks. It matters what God says. Is that plain? And so I want to look at grace. So often people don't understand. It's by that wonderful tasting of life that you come into life. And it's a heavenly life. And it's tasting of the good word of God. And it's God's power that does it. So often, the people of faith upset the people of religion. If you look at Jesus' life, you will notice that all the time Jesus was on earth, he upset everyone. He really did. The religious people, he just couldn't stand him. Why? He healed on the Sabbath day. He ate with unwashed hands. He walked through the fields when he shouldn't have walked through the fields. He did all sorts of things. There were always things people would pick on. Well, who are you to teach us? You're just a carpenter's son. What right have you got? Well, you were born out of wedlock. And they pick on things that were irrelevant. When they caught the man who was blind from his birth, and they got the parents and they say, well, look, just a minute. You know, was he really blind or was this a contract? You know, was this someone planted in the congregation? I was in Cameroon. How over 15 blind people received their sight. Deaf and dumb mutes were healed. Cripples ran. And we've got video of it. You can see it. And 8,000 people were prayed for, and miracle after miracle happened. Now look, did I go over to Cameroon and plant them? Of course not. How can you get cripples running? How can you get blind people seeing? Why, one of the people that was healed on the last day, she was a woman who was a deaf and dumb mute. She was 15. And she had been on national television for the disabled doing sign language with the president of the country. Everyone knew her. She came to the conference because she's heard there were miracles, and God opened her ears or loosed her tongue, and she spoke and she could hear perfectly normally because God set her free. Everyone cheered. I tell you what, she wasn't a plant. She was a miracle from God. And people need to grow up. If you have no power, how are you going to pull down someone who does? If you have no authority, how are you going to set at naught someone who moves in the power of the Holy Ghost? By your lies. God came to establish his kingdom, and his kingdom's a miracle kingdom. If ever there was a miracle, it's a miracle of God being incarnate in human flesh. Jesus taking our sin. Wonderful story of the gospel. And it's amazing how people hide in their filth and their unbelief. Why, this young lady got up to testify how handsome I was. Well, something like that. She lost her sight. What she wanted was her sight back. She got her sight back. I remember when she came up, she said, I see light. I said, that's no good. You need to see someone handsome, me. And I prayed again. You know why? Because I know sight's good. Blindness is evil. I don't believe that my God wants us to live in less than everything he's given. And so I believe. Now, how does God do it? I have no idea. How does God? You know, you imagine this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When someone is a deaf and dumb mute and can't hear anything, how does God plant faith in the heart to believe? You figure it out. I'll tell you how. It's quite simple. If you think about it, you see, I learned years ago that a spirit of a person can hear when the person themselves can't hear. I had someone in a coma, total coma. I was asked to go and pray for them. And this young lady was in a coma. She had an epileptic fit, gone into a coma, and she'd been in a coma 3 days. And they said she'd die. Well, if you're in a coma and you can't take nourishment or anything, there's a problem. So I went. And I shall never forget this poor girl lying in bed in a coma. But you see, you can speak to a person's spirit. So I talked to her spirit, because her spirit was alive. And the vicar that was there, he was worried. What would I do? I took the girl's hand and I told her, "You're going to listen to me now. I command this foul, filthy thing, you're going to come out of her, and you're going to leave her, and you're going to release her mind, her heart, her body right now." And she suddenly just sat up and she threw up. And a devil came out of her, and that was the end of it. She was completely healed. Why? You speak to the spirit. That's how deaf and dumb mutes get healed. God's word speaks to their spirit. And I want to tell you, there's no power in heaven and earth that can stand against my God. But it's by faith. Now, the religious man wants a formula. The religious man wants something. That's why in Jesus' time, they had formulas. You go to the synagogue and they'd burn fish livers and get the smoke to pass under their nostrils so the demon would come out. Or they would go through rituals of sprinkling blood and drinking certain things. That was what was in the synagogues, called superstition. That's not grace. Hey, the God I'm talking about gives it free. And that's what's wonderful. You don't pay for it. And you don't have to fast and starve yourself from 7 days to get a miracle. God gives you a miracle by grace without your works. I'm glad about that. Sent me to tell them it was free. And it was amazing how everyone cheered when they heard it was free. And when they heard they hadn't got a fast for 7 days, they cheered louder. You know? And when they heard they could have the miracle right now, they started whistling, shouting, praising God. Freely you've received, freely give. Amen? By grace. And grace is free. And they all got upset with Jesus because, you know, when he turned up in the temple where they were doing their rituals, they had the turtle doves, they had the animals, they had everything. And Jesus took a whip and he overturned the money changers' tables, didn't he? Kicked them over and he drove them out with a whip. He drove them out. And what I love about it is in John's gospel, it says that then the blind, the halt, and the maimed came into the temple and he healed every one. And guess what? When they were healed, they found they were standing on the piles of money that had come from the money changers' table. And so they got a tip as well. My God is a good God. Amen? Amen? Hadn't come to rob us. It's free. By grace, you say. Through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift. And that was the hardest thing to get over to the people in Cameroon. Hey! It's free. Now the religious man says, "Oh no, you've got to do this, this and this. You've got to do this in your life, that in your life." And my, I like freedom. I like to know my God has not set a load of washing rules of you must do this, must do that. Some of the gospel of people, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you must, that's what I love about the gospel. You know, that's why people say, "Well, you're an ex-policeman." I was an ex-policeman. I'm glad I was an ex-policeman. I learned to speak plainly. I really did. It trained me how to be a pastor. tell you. It did. I mean, people are the same the world over. You know, sin is sin. People are people. But what I am suggesting, people need plain speaking. You know, this idea of everyone in the image of God that the liberals have bought out. The liberal theologians like to put over that everyone's really in the image of God, just slightly marred. My Bible teaches that everyone's a sinner and they need salvation. And salvation comes not by you changing yourself. Legalism says you can change yourself. That means if you have the law and you obey the law and you obey what God says in the law, then you'll become right with God. But that is not the gospel. The gospel said that is totally impossible. And if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, and I want you to look in the book this morning. It's the book that counts. You know, it's not perceptions, it's the book, the Word of God. I want to make that plain. I don't want you to have perceptions and ideas of your own. You need to know what the book says. Because I'm a Bible believer. And as far as I'm concerned, the only touchstone of truth is the Word of God. Amen? It's not what I experience, it's the Word of God. My experience does not count. What counts is what God says. I find so many people, they make their doctrines up by finding a scripture to suit their experience rather than realizing that you have faith born of the Word of God. And when that faith born of the Word of God gets hold of you, you conform to what the scripture says. And in Galatians 1, verse 6, Paul writing to them says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Here are people that are being called into the grace of Christ and they get removed from it to another gospel. They start in grace, the grace of Christ, and they get moved out of it. And you think, well, how can that be? And he goes on, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Hey, they're perverts. They want to pervert the gospel of Christ. It's amazing how people don't understand that we're in the grace of Christ. And you don't want to get removed from the grace of Christ. What removes you from the grace of Christ? We'll look at it. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. In other words, fellas, if you're trying to placate men, you won't be the servant of Christ. Men don't want truth. They want legalism. Men don't understand life. Life is in Christ and in the Spirit. Chapter 2 says this. You need to read the whole the book yourself when you get home. I'm just picking out bits so you can see what I'm talking about. Verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. In other words, there's always going to be people
come in privately to spy out our liberty, and they try to bring us into bondage with their legalism. Do we give subjection to them? No! Not for 1 hour. Wouldn't give subjection to them at all. When people want to subject you to legalism, they want to take the gospel of Jesus Christ out of your life. We're free. We're born free by grace. And it's the grace of Christ. It's a free life, not a legalistic life. Hey, righteousness is not what I do, it's what he is. When I live by grace, hey, Christ is my righteousness. Do you understand that? Legalism, when you've left the gospel, starts by saying, well, you know, you failed in this, you failed in that, you failed in the other. Look, you imagine Abraham, the father of the faithful. He goes down into a foreign country, Egypt. King looks at his wife, Sarah. He lies, says, it's my sister. Nearly ends up with a mess in the marriage, but for God's intervention. Should never have gone down there in the first place. Made a mistake. But he was the father of the faithful. How was he justified? By faith, not by his actions. His actions were wrong, his faith was right. Hello? Hear what I'm saying? It's free. You know, people always want to make things legal. Do this, do that, do the other. When I first came to Christ and I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, I didn't know much about anything. I'm glad I didn't. I found the joy of the Lord was my strength, and I love my God. Legalism was terrible. Religion's awful. You know, got to do this, got to do... Have you ever tried to get up 5 o'clock in the morning to pray? You know, legalism gets dumped on you, doesn't it? Huh? All right, if you want to be legalistic, fine. You know, God bless you. As for me, God didn't call me for that. And false brethren, unawares, come in, and they always want to spy out your liberty. Oh, I want to find out, you know, why are you so free? And then he goes on, verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live with the Jews? We are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, how are you not justified? How are you not justified? Now, if the law's condemning you, and you try to get yourself into life by fulfilling certain criteria, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to end up in condemnation. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You'll always be guilty. Always. That is what the Bible teaches. Goes on. For knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. All right? It's by faith. It's by the faith of Christ, not by my faith, by his faith. 2,000 years ago, he became sin who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's his faith, he did it, and it's not by works of the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Do you know why legalistic religious people hate the people of freedom and the people of the Spirit? I'll tell you why. Because they think they're justified by their self-righteousness. Paul puts it in another place. He says they go about, the Pharisees go about to establish their own righteousness, which is of the law. They don't know about the righteousness which is of faith. The righteousness which is of faith is simple. My righteousness is Christ. He's everything to me. What I do doesn't make me righteous. What he has done for me brings righteousness into my life. Amen? Hello? Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's a difference between walking by faith and walking by legalism. And it's so easy to get trapped when people come along and want to rob you of your freedom. Well, as a Christian, you shouldn't do this. As a Christian, you shouldn't do that. As a Christian, you... Well, Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. There are things that you shouldn't never do. What I'm saying to you is, legalism is the wrong way to try and live. By grace, free gift. Okay, let's go on. Look in the scripture here. I love the Bible. Verse 19. For I... For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. There would have been no purpose for Christ coming and suffering on Calvary if I could be justified by following a set of rules and regulations. I'm not. You never can be. The only way you can be justified is by Christ's life. Is that plain? Verse 1 of chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have evidently been set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you fulfill some criteria to receive the Spirit? Did you go and do some formula? Or did you receive it because faith came, you heard the word of God, you believed God, and God did a miracle? It's by hearing the incorruptible word of God you receive the Spirit of Christ, don't you? Hello? If you're not born again of the incorruptible word of God, you're not born. It's not what you do, it's what Christ has done for you. Is that plain? Some of you are looking mystified. Get out of your mystics. Is that plain?
Yes.
Is that plain?
Yes.
Are you sure? In other words, it's not what I do, it's what he did for me. Amen? Is that clear?
Yes.
Now, a lot of Christians, they start off in the Spirit, they get bewitched, and then they start thinking they're justified by how they live. But by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. There's some churches, you go to
and some in Africa, where the men and the women sit in separate sides. All the women down one side, all the men down the other side. See them, they walk to church hand in hand, and then the husbands and wives have to part and sit in a different place. And I went to this church where they did that at the time. I didn't know. And my wife was with me. And we were walking into the church, and I was there to preach. And I don't know, it was about 20,000 people there. And all of a sudden, my wife's whisked away. She's not allowed up on the platform because she's a woman. She had to sit with the women. And so when there was a point where everyone was getting up and moving around, I can't remember why, my wife found it was a bit inconvenient where she was sitting, so she moved to another place just out of the way of everyone. And to their horror, she sat where in the elders' pews. It was men only. I mean, you know, that's legalism. Huh? Terrible. Jesus Christ came to save people. He came to care for people. Well, you be legal. Let me have miracles. That's what I love about my Jesus. He went into the synagogue, you know, on a Sabbath day. There's a woman bowed over, or there's a man with a withered hand. Or Jesus just went in, and he messed up their religion. And I suppose I've got that same spirit within me. I care for people. He therefore, verse 5, that ministereth to the Spirit and worketh miracles amongst you, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. How does he do it? Works of the law? Hearing of faith. My! I'm all for miracles. Miracle a day keeps the devil away. This idea, you know, you've got to... If you relied on my holiness and my self-righteousness and I was perfect, you'd die before any of my prayers would be effective. Thank God it's not by my holiness, it's by his. It's not by my life, it's by his life. We preach Christ. We don't preach ourselves. We have a God who's able. What a difference. Glory to God. Verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen by keeping rules and regulations and being miserable. How's he going to justify them? Through faith. Glory to God. Preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, and those that be of law aren't blessed at all. And that's what makes them mad. There's nothing worse than someone who's a self-righteous prig who goes around legalistically fulfilling all his little standards. And the trouble is, nothing ever happens. All he does is get other people to live under the same miserable laws. But faith produces miracles. And I believe in miracles. And I believe what we need, the new birth is a miracle birth. Healing is a miracle. Life is a miracle. Everything's a miracle. The whole of creation's upheld by the power of his word. I believe in miracles. Do you know what I want? I want miracles. I don't want legalism. I don't want anyone to believe, oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Just shows you. Now you can get, you've got to, now I look at the Bible, it's got to conform with scripture. I'm not saying that there are no principles in God. What I am saying, though, is we don't live by the law. I want you to understand the scripture tells us and warns us, but we don't live by legalism. It's got to conform to the book. But we don't live by legalism. Let's just look. A couple more scriptures, okay? Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Now look, what I want to tell you is justification is in the sight of God. It's not in the sight of man. That's why Paul says, look, we stand before the Lord our God. That's why you shouldn't judge another. He'll stand or fall before the Lord. Watch out. If you think, oh, you know, your little egoistic mind will say, well, you know, if he was a Christian, he wouldn't do that. If he was a Christian, he wouldn't wear a blue tie with spots. I mean, or whatever your fad is. There's a lot of people have funny fads. Watch out. You see, we're justified in the sight of God. And the law and legalism won't ever justify us in the sight of God. I want to tell you this morning, if you feel condemned, what you want to do is you want to let your heart turn to Jesus Christ and the shed blood and realize that the basis of your salvation, the basis of forgiveness, the basis of healing is what Christ did for me, not what I'm doing. Do you hear what I'm saying? He did it. I'm forgiven because of what he did for me. I'm justified because he is my justification. It's by his faith. My sin is divided from me as far as the east is from the west because of what he did. It's not what I do. I'm made the righteousness of God in him by what he does. And legalism will never bring me into it. It's by faith. I have faith in what Christ has done for me. It is not that I feel that I have achieved a standard or I've achieved. Once I start doing that, I'm lost. I'm under law. I'm not like that. I just believe him. It's his faith, it's his life. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith. It's the life I now live in the flesh. And it's all of him. And once you come to that, the Galatians were deceived. They began to look, and Jews came along and said, ah, no. If you want to be right with God, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to, you know. And they had all the precepts of men. Look, there are many things in our culture. I was over in Africa, and I had to explain to Philip, who came with us. One time we sat down at breakfast, I think it was. I was sitting down with him, and I said, you know, one of the worst problems I have when I go to Africa, and one of the worst problems I have when I visit nations, is that people try and impose Western culture as though it's Christianity. What is the social norms of society they think is Christianity? It's not. It's legalism. It's not Christianity at all. And they try and say that what's right and wrong is what is right and wrong for a Westerner. But I find when I travel the world that if I'm in South America, there's a lot of things that aren't taboo in their society, which if I brought it back to this society, it would be taboo. And I have to look at it and say, just a minute. Am I teaching the word of God? And am I bringing people to the life of Christ? Or am I bringing to Western culture? And Western culture is not that cultural. Frankly, there's a lot of things I thank God for when I go to Africa. It's nice to be in Africa. I was happy when I was in the Bronx. I like to go to places. But the thing you want to do is realize you preach the grace of God. And the grace of God doesn't impose a culture on people that isn't theirs.
And so often I find Christian society has got a kind of Christian, in inverted commas, culture they try and impose upon you, which is legalism in the extreme, and they want you to fulfill their requirements. Well, I've got news for you. It's wrong. God doesn't put requirements on us. Jesus Christ came to set us free. Free from our culture. Free from the taboos of society. Free from the things that society would say. And under the law of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets me free from the law of sin and death. And I thank God that there are many, many things which in Western culture we would consider wrong. But in African culture or South American culture or Asian culture, they don't consider wrong at all. And they have things that they consider taboo that we wouldn't. And one of the greatest gifts I ever had was to have a good friend called Archbishop Benson Ederhoser, who lived outside his culture, and he lived in the Word of God and the faith of God, and he was a man of faith, and he transcended his culture. And culture is a curse. It's a real curse. That's why being politically correct is totally wrong. Last thing you ever want to be is politically correct. That's legalism. Hey, I don't want to be politically correct. Most of the political correctness is wrong. You know, why should I suggest that wrong life, alternative lifestyles are right? They're not. They're wrong. And God wants to get us out of our cultures. And I would suggest for many people, their legalism is just their cultural attitudes and nothing to do with God's word. And all I would like to say is it's by faith. And Christ lived very different than we live. And he behaved very different. And I want to be Christ-like. I don't want to be English. I don't want to be French. Certainly don't want to be German or Italian. Or Irish, God forbid. Or Welsh. I don't want to be any of them. What I want to be is free in Jesus. And by faith, grace, a gift. Do you know God loves you? And he's not demanding of you a lifestyle. He's not wanting you to change your life. He's wanting to give you his life. When I was in Africa, someone turned around to me and said, oh, you know, what God wants to do, God wants to transform our lives. I said, that's a lie. God doesn't want to transform our lives. God doesn't need your life. It's messed up. You're totally depraved in your first birth. God doesn't need your life, thank you very much. He didn't want to take your life. He wants to give you his life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I live, nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen? Grace. Free. What a wonderful gospel we have. They're not rules and regulations. You know, you'll make it, not because of what you do, but because what he did for you. You'll make it because he loves you. God so loved the world that he gifted his only begotten Son. What a wonderful thing. A person came to me once, you know, a religious person. They said, do you know, have you ever since you became a Christian, have you ever gone back into your childhood and repented over all you ever did wrong? I said, I beg your pardon. They said, well, you have to go back. And in fact, you know, there's a group that used to be around and they'd get you to go back into your mother's womb. That's a bit uncomfortable when you're my size, but so what they did, they'd lie people on the floor and put a big cushion over them.
And people would go into a fetal position and they would imagine they were suffering what they had in the womb. I mean, nutcases. Absolute nutcases. And this woman was telling me all about it and how people used to scream out and devils would come out of them under the cushion. And, you know, how they'd have to go through the experience of birth. And if you had a bad experience of birth, you had a terrible psychological problem and God would deliver you when you went through. And they would go to these conferences where they'd all get under a cushion. Not the same cushion. They have one each. And they had to go through this birth process. And, you know, then they'd come out and they'd had to confess everything they'd ever done against it. I mean, I'd have been there for 10 years. And then I might have forgotten something. I mean, that's so ridiculous. You know, it's not the sins you commit that God came to deal with. It's the fact of your nature as a sinner. That's what he dealt with. It's the sin principle. Anyway, when this woman had told me how she kind of come through this birth and stuff, I had to have some answer because the Bible says you've got to have an answer for the hope that's in you. So I said, tell me, I said, what happens if you were by cesarean birth? Did they cut the cushion in half and pull you out the middle? I mean, it's just crazy, isn't it? It's witchcraft. Nutty. You know, it's not what you do. It's not what you've done in your past. It's not who you've upset. For goodness sake, most of you have qualified to upset everyone. It's not, you know, did I kind of do this wrong or that wrong? Look, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is you come to faith in what Christ has done for you. My faith's in God. What he has done. Not in what I do. Do you understand what I'm saying? I put my trust in God. My faith in his sacrifice. His blood cleanses from all sin. It's not me that does it, it's his blood. You can be free today of all your past. It can be divided from you as far as the east is from the west when you suddenly realize Jesus took it all, did it all. And you live by faith. Faith in what he's done. You can be healed when you stop looking at yourself and looking at your problems and living in your slobbering self-pity. And you look away to Christ and realize what he did for you. As the young lady said, by his stripes, you are healed. Well, you know, everyone tells me that. I don't. Oh, well, live in your stinking sickness then. That's your choice. Or have faith in him. It's a choice you all have. By grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift. Put your hand on your chest. Huh? It's a gift. Say after me, dear Lord Jesus, thank you. It's what you did for me that counts. You died for me. You took my sin. You became sin. Who knew no sin. That I might be made the righteousness of God. In you. It's not what I do. It's what you did for me. You took my diseases. You took my sicknesses. You took my bondages into your body. You died to it. Third day you rose again from the dead. You did it all. I believe it. I receive it. Thank you, Lord. You did it for me. I'm alive because you live in me. It's what you've done. For me. Amen. Now, isn't that simple? That's living by faith. His faith in what he did. Choir's going to sing.